See, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. For you see, the Spirit of the Lord comes on the inside of you, and He's there to empower you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to love you. He's there to bless you. He's there to lift you. He's there to instruct you. He's there to touch your heart in such a way that He'll change you. For you see, the Spirit of the Lord on the inside, He's yearning to have fellowship with you. He's desiring to talk to you. And when you realize that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and you begin to listen to the Spirit of the Lord on the inside, He will help you. He will love you. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will lighten you. He will lift you.
Thank you, Lord.
He will bless you. He will minister to you.
Thank you,
Lord. He will enable you. He will encourage you. He will not leave you the same. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He will touch your heart. He will give you instruction. He will minister to you a word in due season, and it will produce perfect liberty in you. Because the Spirit of the Lord on the inside will say, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." So don't be in a hurry to make decisions. Don't be in a hurry to cause judgment to come. But wait on the Spirit. Wait on the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when He's speaking to your heart, He will inspire you. He will encourage you, and He will lift you, and He will tell you what to do and when to do it and how to do it, and it'll produce perfect peace in your life.
Thank
so
you,
be
Lord
still
Jesus.
And be quiet and listen, and He will talk
Thank
to you.
You.
Yes, He will. He will speak to your heart, and it will be exactly what you need to hear, and it will help you, it will encourage you, it will bring you to victory, and it will put you over when He speaks.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You will do that. Help us, Lord, this evening. Minister Your word effectively. And Father, we thank You at the end of this service. We'll be careful and quick to give You all the praise, all the glory, all the credit. Because, Lord, I certainly know I can't do it without You. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to two or three people. Tell them everything's going to be okay. You believe that? I love that scripture Brother Dean said there under the inspiration of the Spirit, that you'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." It's just a little whisper. You know, you hear an inner voice, get a little inner witness. Today I had some questions I didn't know the answer to. Have you ever had that happen to you? Aren't you thankful God's smarter than you? That even though you don't know the answers, you know someone who does know the answers. And so I told the Lord, "I don't know the answers to this." And I pulled up Proverbs chapter 3 and just went over the scripture that says, "Lord, You said in Your word, if I lean not to my own understanding and acknowledge You, You'll direct my paths." And I tell you what, I just spent a couple of minutes there just praying that, asking the Lord for wisdom, just quieted my soul. Like I said, your mind gets so raptured in things that you think you're actually believing, but really you're kind of worrying and kind of stressing about pressing. I guess that's the word for it. You're pressing for an answer. I need this. Well, faith is not in a position of needing something. Faith is in a position of having received something. There's a big difference. So if you feel yourself pressing, you need to remove yourself from that. I felt myself pressing. So anyway, I just pulled back. I just said, "Lord, you know, You said if I would acknowledge You, You will direct my paths." And so I just took a couple of minutes and just meditated on that and just start praying in the Spirit. And it wasn't 5 minutes later. I mean, exactly 5 minutes later, I'm sitting there writing down the answers to every one of my questions. Do this, walk you in this, you know, go this way. And that word direct, I looked it up in the Hebrew today because that was part of my meditation. I was meditating on that scripture. It doesn't just mean He'll tell you. It means that what He tells you will prosper. That word direct actually means, you wouldn't think this, but it actually means prosper and pleasantness. That the paths He directs you in will be paths that prosper you and will be pleasant paths. I like that word pleasant. It's different between a pleasant life and a stressful one. Difference between being led by still waters and being led by raging ones. But with that, take the time to just do that. To pull away when you feel yourself worrying or stressing or pressing. Just take the time to take a step back, still your heart, still your mind, meditate on some scripture, and then just yield to the Holy Spirit. Let your mind be directed towards your heart. In Psalms, the psalmist would talk about communing with his heart on his bed. He talked about just laying in bed and commune with his heart, talk to his heart. Well, why his heart? Because that's the part of you that God's giving wisdom to. He'll direct your heart. That word heart in Proverbs 3 means the center of something. Well, what's the center of you? That's your spirit. It's not your natural heart. It's your spirit. And so when God directs you, it's in the center of your being. It's just right there. And you can commune with that and draw out that wisdom. The book of Proverbs said that wisdom is in the heart of a man like deep waters, and a man of understanding will draw it out. Picture if you're dying of thirst and you got a well right there in front of you. Well, what do you got to do? You got to take that bucket and you got to lower it down and pull that life up, pull that water up. And once it's pulled up, then you drink. Well, that's the same way wisdom is. Wisdom's in you. Why? The Holy Spirit is in you. And 1 John said, you don't have any need for any man to teach you, for the Holy Spirit is in you, and he'll teach you all things. He goes on to say, you got an unction from the Holy One. And with that, that unction is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, your teacher, your leader, your God. We got to pull that wisdom out. That wisdom's in you. I just have to take the time to pull it out. Does that make sense? And so I'd encourage you to do that as much as possible, but especially when you feel yourself pressing for answers, or you just have an overwhelming need, whether it's a financial need or a relational need, or you don't know how to respond, or you're feeling your heart be overwhelmed by something, pull back and draw out wisdom. Remember, God oftentimes doesn't just change things. He gives you a strategy to change things. I said God oftentimes doesn't change things. He gives you a strategy. And when you implement that strategy, that's when things change. He didn't give the children of Israel Jericho. He gave them a strategy to get Jericho. And when they implemented the strategy, that's when they received it. And so with that, take the time to get wisdom. And when you walk in it, it's just amazing how things click. And that's why of all the things in James that tells you to ask for wisdom. Because that's what you need. You need strategies for these different things. And when they're implemented, that's when we see miracles. With turning the water into wine, they needed a strategy. They needed a strategy on how to do it. You need strategy. How do you get that strategy? From the Holy Spirit. You draw out that counsel like you would water from a well. Amen? But you got to take the time to draw out water, and you got to take the time to hear from God. Still your heart. Still it. And just commune with your heart. In your own bed or wherever you're at, in the office chair or in your car seat, or not your, you know, like a baby car seat, but in your car seat, you know what I'm talking about. Just still your heart and begin drawing out that wisdom that's already on the inside of you. Amen? Give the Holy Spirit access to your life. Amen. Once again, God's not the blessed two-in-one. He's the blessed three-in-one. Amen. You got God the Father. I'm thankful for that. You got Jesus. I'm thankful for that. But you also have the Holy Spirit. And he's the part of God that leads and guides you into all truth. So acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Say, direct me, lead me, guide me. And he'll be faithful to do that. Amen. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11. Anybody got anything marked in Mark chapter 11? Highlighted, underlined, written? If not, stay here long enough and it'll be marked up. Mark chapter 11. Let's look at this real quickly here. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. It said, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, talking about Jesus and his disciples, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus, I love this word in the King James, answered and said. Sometimes you just got to answer what's facing you. It's telling you you're not going to make it. You got to answer it and say something back to it. He answered and said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Now, I don't think Jesus just went around cursing trees. I think he was trying to make his disciples see a lesson, to teach them something. And Jesus always was good about giving illustrated sermons or by telling a story that the people could understand. I don't think Jesus just cursed this tree because he was disappointed that it didn't have any fruit on it. I think he made sure his disciples heard it because he wanted them to do what they did. And watch what they did in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And in the morning, they went into the city, then came out the next day. And in the morning, as they passed by the tree, they saw the fig tree. Now, who's they? The disciples. How many of you know they were probably all looking for it? They hear Jesus curse this tree. So when they walk out, they're trying to say, okay, let's see what Jesus has got. They're all looking for it. Let's see what's happened to the fig tree. Once again, I think this was Jesus' point, as he knew they would. And he wanted to teach them what we're about to learn tonight. He said, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, underline it, put it in parentheses, whatever works for you, highlight it, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that underline it, whosoever, not special people, not ministers, not just Jesus, not just the disciples, that whosoever, that's me and you, whosoever means me, shall say, underline it, so underline that word say, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not, underline it, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, underline that, I've got it underlined and circled, that word saith, circled, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, circle or underline saith again. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now right there is the ticket to achieving anything you want to achieve in life. And he goes on to say, well, you can't really finish this without reading the next part. He also gives them one final key in verse 25. He says, and when you stand praying, you better forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father may forgive you of your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. So we know later, Paul revealed this to us in his revelation, that faith works by what? Faith works by love. So here he tells us, Jesus does, the head of the church, that me and you are to have faith in God. Now we say this all the time in this church, but we're going to keep saying it. The just shall live by faith. If I'm not living by faith, there's no way for me to please God. If I didn't use my faith today, I didn't please God. For without faith, it's impossible to what? Please Him. If I'm not using my faith, I'm not being pleasing to God. I'm called to have faith in my Father, faith in God. I'm called to use my faith in God. Now, it's wonderful. This is a wonderful testimony. We'll talk a little bit more about it Sunday. But you guys know in the month of December, we said that we were going to give all of our profits away to world missions and to other ministries. I just felt impressed to do it. And really, didn't even really feel so much impressed to do it, so much as I just decided in my heart to do it. And that's scriptural too in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, as each man is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, one translation says, whose heart is in his giving. And that's always a good thing to do, just purpose in your heart to be good towards God, good towards his kingdom. And God had just been so wonderful to us in 2013. We just saw so much increase in every way, paying off the building and not struggling with attendance. And, you know, there's just so many people out there who are struggling in ministry, and we're able to use the light that's coming from this place to give them hope, give them light, give them vision, which is wonderful. And so anyway, I just wanted to do something for the Lord and just bless him because he had blessed us so much. And I just made a decision. We're going to give away all the profit from the church in the month of December and give it to world missions, other ministries. Well, I thought that we'd make about $100,000 profit in the month of December. Just looking at the financial records, you could estimate about that. With church, it's a little bit different. It's kind of like owning a restaurant or something like that. I suppose every month can be a little bit different. You know, some months you got five Sundays. One month you got five Sundays. You take in a little bit more, those types of things. Some months you got five Wednesdays, that kind of deal. And then some months people just seem to give more, and then other people, at the other months, it just seems like, well, man, maybe a lot of people went on vacation. But with that, you can kind of estimate different things. I figured we'd give about $100,000 away. Now, that's on top of our normal giving. That's not our normal giving. That's over and beyond what we would give to ministries and missionaries, monthly support. Well, anyway, I figured that. Well, you guys know the story. We gave away $50,000 to build a Bible school in Papua New Guinea. And a church in Fiji. And we gave away a little bit over $20,000 to put smart boards over in Poindexter and a laminator there and printer, that kind of deal. Wonderful project to get involved in. Well, we're kind of waiting, to the end of December to kind of figure out, well, how much profit came in, how much really came in the month of December. Well, anyway, we pulled the final numbers and come to find out, wouldn't you know it, we had our best month in the history of the church financially in the month of December. Which is just amazing because most churches, that's their least month because people's discretionary income is being spent towards hams and ornaments and all of those things. So we had our best month. And so we already gave $50,000, and then we already gave 20-some-odd thousand, a little bit over $20,000. Come to find out, we still have over $190,000 to give. Over $190,000 still to give. And that's without any pulls for money. That's without taking up special offering. That's without passing one bucket. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I think it's like 193 something that we still had. So I told the Lord, Lord, I don't know where to give all this money. I know we're going to give it, but I don't know where to give it. So with that, we're going to give away every penny, but we're still trusting the Lord for guidance and all that on where he wants to send it. There's a big difference between sowing and throwing. I said there's a big difference between sowing and throwing. You can throw money away, but you can sow money. To sow money, you need revelation. The first thing you need is this is not just giving, I'm sowing. I'm putting seed in ground that's going to come back and get a harvest. You got to have that revelation. But then the second thing, you need to inspect the field you're sowing into. You don't just want to throw seed. You want to make sure it's good ground. Amen. I said you need a revelation that you're not just giving money away, but you're actually sowing it. You're planting seed, and every seed's supposed to bring a harvest. Remember, it's not just seed time, but it's harvest time too. If you don't have a concept of that, you'll throw money instead of sow money. You'll throw money in a plate instead of sow money into a ministry. But with this, you need to know what ground you're sowing into. So anyway, I had a couple of ideas of where I thought the money might go. We got a missionary friend over in India. It's a northern part of India, Sikh him. It's kind of a state of India, right on the border of India and China. And they came, Mike and Joe T. You remember them? Some of you guys may have been here. That he came and preached on Wednesday night. A lot of you guys became partners of their ministry, all those kinds of things. Wonderful work. Wonderful, just beautiful, beautiful work and just wonderful people. Got vision for their nation. And just anyway, I knew I wanted to bless them. I had it on my heart to bless them. Well, they've got a little community that they're in. It's kind of on the mountainous side of India. Most of India is very dry and barren, but they're actually up in the mountains because it's actually kind of considered, well, China would still like to consider it some of its, but it's really a state of India. But it's very mountainous. It starts getting up and towards the Himalayas. And anyway, so they're up there in the mountains, and so everything's kind of staggered, and you got to, like, hike to get to the church and kind of hike back to get to your road. Real cool, real cool. So they kind of own the community there when it comes to the gospel. They're the only outreach there, pretty much. So they've got several things running there. They got a church, they got a Bible school, they got a boys' home, they got a girls' home, and they also have a school. And they use the school to draw in kids from the community. And part of the deal with the school is they tell the parents, we're going to teach them about Jesus. If you want to send your kids to school here, this is a Christian school. We're going to tell them about Jesus. They actually have won a lot of people to Lord that way. Really fascinating. So anyway, they have a lot of needs because they're renting places, and they got the girls' home really far away, and then the boys' home is over here, and then so anyway, they're looking to get all that central. Well, they've got two houses that came up for sale right next to them, and put the boys' home in one, girls' home in one, and one's $35,000, the other one's $30,000. I think one's like 2,200 square feet, and the other one's 2,500 square feet. And then back behind them's a whole bunch of property that I think it's like 18,500 square feet worth of property. The property was for $65,000. So anyway, they've got all these different needs there. Their goal was to take their existing facility, turn that into the school, buy the property behind them, build a church, and then buy those two homes, and they got everything there right there on one site. So I knew I wanted to help with that. Well, the total cost was $130,000. Well, that's it. That'll take care of a big chunk of that $193,000. So I just cut a check of $130,000. And every time I got ready to send the email telling them, Mike, we're going to buy you the whole thing. We're going to buy you the whole kit and caboodle. We're going to buy you the land. We're going to buy you both homes. We're going to change that community and take your ministry just years ahead. And every time I got ready to send the email, I couldn't. I could have, but I couldn't. Something on the inside pulled me back. That was one of the things I was praying about. Lord, why can't I buy the whole thing? I'm trying to, is there somewhere else am I supposed to go? So, Lord, what? Please tell me what, where, how. So with all these different things, and you better pay attention to that. If you're getting ready to do something, you better pay attention to it. If you've got that pull on your heart. So I said, Lord, what is that? And just praying, and that's one of those things I was acknowledging him on. I got it in my heart to instead just give him $95,000. That would take care of one of the homes and the property. Or if he wanted to get both homes, put down payment on the property, whatever it was, he'd have a good sum of down payment. So with that, I said, okay, Lord, but why $95,000? $95,000 is still a big chunk of change. Why can't I just go ahead and do the whole 130, get them all three? And the Lord said this to me. He said, because I still want him believing me for something. I still want him believing me for something. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God never wants your life not to need him. He wants you to be exercising your faith for something. Remember, for us, we see faith as a means to an end. I'll get in faith for this project, and then the project's done. Woo, I can rejoice. But God's not so much concerned about the end as he is the process. He just likes you being in faith. He takes care of the end. Nothing's impossible with God. I mean, you're talking about a God who creates planets. I mean, giving you your little needs is nothing. He creates planets. Come on, somebody. He made Jupiter, put rings around Saturn. I mean, he's God. So with this, he makes planets. So with this, our little old needs, and no matter how big our needs or wants are, they're little compared to God, are nothing. They're just drops and buckets to him. It's not the end, it's the means to the end that God cares about. We care about the end, but God cares about the process. He cares about us being in faith. So Jesus starts this out. Once again, I think the whole thing was set up to teach them this lesson so that we would have the lesson too. He says, guys, you got to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't live life without God. Get in faith over something, boys. And then he tells them how faith works. He says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We see that there are three parts to faith in these passages. Number one, I must believe with my heart. I must believe with my heart. Everyone say that. Say, number one, I must believe with my heart. Then he says, number two, you must say, or we could say, speak with your mouth. Number one, I must believe with my heart. Number two, I must speak with my mouth. Then number three, I receive with thanksgiving. I must believe with my heart. I must, number two, speak with my mouth. And I must, number three, receive with thanksgiving. All right? So we've talked about number one with some length of detail, believing with your heart. Believing with your heart is your heart has completed the work on something. It's the dominant part of you. I'll give you an example, and I'm using too much time on this, but it's okay. We'll be back next Wednesday, right? You'll come back, I'll come back. We'll have fun again. With this, believe with your heart. Your heart's completed work on something. This I mentioned last year, we paid off the facility. Well, in natural plans, we had scheduled, naturally, to pay off the facility this year. By the end of this year, the facility would be paid for. By the end of 2015, we'd have this facility paid for. But I always knew in my heart God wanted to do it last year. Just had it in my heart. He wants to do it last year. He wants to do it where he gets the credit for it and not us. And I knew that. He wants you to display his glory constantly in your life and mine. And with this, I knew it in my heart. So I knew I'm supposed to believe God for that. God's good to do this. He'll give you desires, dreams. He'll sow that seed in your heart. Remember what we said last week. For Mary, we went and looked at that and saw that the child that was in her was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and it was her job to bring it forth. Now, she's going to bring it forth with his grace, but it was still her job to bring it forth. And we said that with all these things, God's good about giving us things, seeds, conceiving things in our heart. Our heart gets excited about something, but it's our job to bring it forth. It's got to be prayed out. It's got to be believed out. Our faith has to go to work on that. And so with that, when you believe with your heart has completed that project. So with that, I know we've got to be, God wants us to be debt-free by the end of this year. I started meditating on God's promises to get us out of debt. There's tons of them throughout the scripture, tons of them where he would make people the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. So getting in faith over scriptures like that, no man nothing but to love him, scriptures like that. So I started getting that in my heart. And then I started releasing my faith for it. I'd walk around this place. This carpet's paid for. These speakers are paid for. These lights are paid for. Thank you, Lord, it'll all come to pass. Thank you, Lord, these chairs are paid for. That exit sign is paid for. These drums are paid. I mean, I'd walk around just doing that all the time. Why? Faith's got to be released. But finally, it dawned in my heart. It was quick in my heart. I knew the building was paid for long before it ever was. Now, here's how you know you're really believing in your heart. We said this last week, and I owned to myself when I left because I didn't explain it like I should. Brother Hagin said this all the time. He'd say this a good bit. He said, you can have faith in your heart with doubt in your head. And I never understood that until recently. How can you have faith in your heart with doubt in your head? And I said this last week, but I really want to just communicate this more effectively, more efficiently. Fear comes to us all. It doesn't matter who you are, worry, fear, it comes to us all. And the enemy, the area of us that he attacks is our thought life. He can't have access to our heart. We're born again. So he attacks our mind. For a believer, that's how he gets oppression in people. That's how he puts bondages in people, strongholds in people. It's in their mind because that's the area of us he attacks. So with this, when you're in faith for something, the enemy will attack your mind trying to make you think that what you're in faith for will never come to pass. And a lot of times, he'll give you some good evidence for your eyes to see and your ears to hear that tells you it's not coming to pass. He deals in that arena of thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So with that, though, I'll give you an example of this. You remember the story of Jairus over in Mark chapter 5? Jairus is here, his daughter's sick to the point of death. He's in faith. He goes against Jesus, tells him, if you'll come to my house, lay hands on her, she'll be raised up. Jesus always works with people wherever their faith is at. The centurion had faith that Jesus didn't need to come to his house, that he could speak the word only. Jesus worked with that. Here, there's a little bit lesser degree of faith, but it's still faith. He said, if you'll come, Jesus, and just lay hands on her, I know she'll be well. Jesus worked with his faith. He said, I'll come and heal her. Well, you know the story. One with issue of blood came up, kind of stopped the proceeding process, kind of told him all the truth, told her story, kind of held the process up. And it held it up so long that they finally came to Jairus and said, look, don't trouble the master any longer. Your daughter's not just sick anymore. Your daughter has died. And it hits Jairus. How many of you know where it would hit him? In his mind. What? Fear. Worry, concern, pressure. I've got a little girl. I know, I can't imagine what that would be like, hearing a report like that, how that would attack your adult life. And Jesus immediately sees it, and what does he tell Jairus? Fear not, only believe. Jesus immediately answers that. When faith is in your heart, so strong, you believe in your heart. Jesus said, if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you will have whatsoever you say. It's two parts. It's not just saying, it's also believing. And Jesus said, when you believe it in your heart, so strong, and then say it with your mouth, you'll have what you say. What Jesus was trying to get Jairus to do is to, for him to realize fear is attacking your mind right now. Go back to your heart. And when you're in faith, fear will come to your mind. Thoughts of doubt will come to your mind. You can have doubt rolling around in your mind and still be in faith. But when you are in faith, something happens. That faith in you rises up and arrests those thoughts. It arrests them and throws them out. No, I'll believe God. No, I'll fear not. I'll only believe. No, I know it's going to turn around. No, I know I've got the answer. No, I know it'll all be paid off. No, I know it'll all come to pass. Shut up, devil. You're a liar. You're the father of lies. Everything you say is a lie. I'm not going to listen to you. Faith rises up in your heart. And when nothing can shake you out of it, you're in faith. You're in faith. Well, where does that faith come from? It comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you see that your mind is constantly overriding your heart, what do you need? You need to feast upon the Word of God. You need to go back to the promises of God and stand upon His Word. Either the promises He's written in His Word or the promises He's spoken to your spirit. And with that, you start believing in your heart. But how many of you know that is not the only thing Jesus said? He said it's not enough for it to be in your heart. He said it must also come out of your mouth. You've got to speak what is in your heart. Speak what is in your heart. We said some phrases over the course of this series. I want to make sure you've written them down. Here's the first one. The word of God spoken to you must be spoken through you in order to come to pass. The word of God spoken to you must be spoken through you in order for it to come to pass. Remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, buddy, you better war good warfare with the prophecies that went before you. He said, God's been speaking some things over you. It's not enough for God to speak some things to you. You got to speak those things through you. If God's spoken something to your heart, if He's given you a dream, that's good, but it's not enough. The Word of God spoken to you must be spoken through you. Mountains don't move because you have a belief in your heart. Mountains move because you got a belief in your heart that you spoke to that mountain about. Remember what we said this? We said another thing. If your faith is not big enough to move your mouth, it'll never be big enough to move your mountain. If you say, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, and you think you're in faith, if you're not speaking faith, then that means that mountain's not moving. I don't care in how much faith you're in. If your faith is not big enough to open up your mouth and move it, then your faith is not big enough to move your mountain. And we said this, and we're winding these things up, but like we said, we'll come back to them next week. Then we said this, when you hear the word, you believe. When you hear the word, you believe. But when you confess the word, you receive. When I hear the word, what happens? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I hear the word, I believe. If I'm having a problem with fear, I need to go back to the word of God. Because when I hear the word, I believe. But it's not until I confess the word that I receive. When I hear the word, I believe. But when I speak the word, that's when I receive. How much have you been speaking? How much of your faith have you been communicating? Jesus said you got to speak. Well, how? Through prayer. He lists that in verse 24. Through confession, through just a positive expectation of what you believe is going to happen to you. But he said, you got to be open up your mouth and saying something. Even salvation is not just believing with your heart Jesus raised from the dead. You must confess him with your mouth. This is the spirit of faith. You believe with your heart and you speak with your mouth. How much speaking have you been doing? We said this last week. We said any fault that is in you will die unborn. Well, let me read it exactly where I don't say something differently. A fault left unsaid and a fault left unacted upon is a fault that will die unborn. A fault that is left unsaid and a fault that is left unacted upon is a fault that will die unborn. We used that example last week about robbing a bank and how sin always comes that way. That the enemy gives you a thought, and out of that thought, you start thinking that thought, thinking that thought, thinking that thought, and then you start talking about that thought, and then you start acting towards that thought, and eventually you'll find yourself robbing a bank. I saw this happen this past week with chocolate cake. I did. I came home Wednesday night after doing that. Me and my wife started talking about, oh, I want some chocolate cake. I said, no, we can't eat chocolate cake. I said, do you realize that's how we always have eaten chocolate cake? As we said, ooh, I want some chocolate cake. And then we kept talking about chocolate cake. Started thinking about chocolate cake. Then I got in the car, start taking action to go get some chocolate cake from Nukes. And going, oh, and you know, we start talking about all week. And all week we'd put off the thought. But then finally I got to the weekend and we started talking about it too much. And we weren't even thinking about it. Just started talking about chocolate cake. And finally after Sunday service, came home, started talking about chocolate cake. And then my wife said, start talking about chocolate cake. I said, I'm dying. I'm going to Nukes and getting a slice of chocolate cake. Why? We had a thought, but we didn't just have a thought. If it was just a thought that came in passing, you never would act upon it. It would die unborn. But you start thinking about it. You start talking about it. You start acting upon it. Well, you got a chocolate cake in your house. So with this, we said that's how the enemy works, but it's also how God works. He got the idea from God. He takes what God does and twists it. That's what evil is. It's twisting. But with this, God is always putting things in your heart, putting desires in your heart. You got a desire to do something for your kids. You got a desire to see things happen financially. You got a desire to see something in your career. You got a desire to be something, walk in something, have something. If that desire is not being spoken out of your mouth, you never will receive it. It'll die unborn. You got to communicate it. Now, you definitely don't need to talk against it. I'll say this, and then we'll close it up, and then we'll get to the rest of this next week. I remember the story. I meant to tell it even last week. We just ran out of time. But Brother Hagin was in his ministry, and it was a massive, massive ministry. And with that, you've got income that comes in from all these different places. They got a church, a Bible school, monthly supporters, TV, mail, all those things. So, but with that, some things had come up in ministry, and they were looking at how to fix it. Well, Brother Hagin wasn't the only one who's responsible for those things. There are a lot of people who were, different divisions, different departments. Same way, if you're in a company, there's different heads of different departments, that kind of deal. So anyway, they're in faith, right? In faith, in prayer. This is going to turn. We're going to see results in this area. Results in this area. But then they weren't seeing results. Well, I'm not seeing results. I want to see results in this area. I got a desire in my heart. We've been praying about this. Why aren't we seeing results? And they were holding some meetings. And it's real easy sometimes in meetings to slip over in doubt and unbelief real quick. Because you got all these problems there. And if you're not careful, it's just real easy to talk about all the problems. Well, this is not working, this is not working, this is not working. And faith does not ignore issues. A lot of people think faith ignores things. No, faith doesn't ignore things. David didn't act like the giant wasn't there. He didn't close his eyes and say, there is no giant, there is no giant, there is no giant, there is no giant. He's still there. There is no giant, there is no giant. There is... No, he didn't do that, right? Daniel didn't ignore the lions. Right? You can't ignore things. Faith doesn't ignore things. It faces them. I said it faces them. with courage and boldness. It faces them. It doesn't ignore them. It's not afraid of them. It's not afraid to learn about them. Faith faces it. And so with this, they're in the meeting and they're facing the problem, but at the same time, the problems become the dominant word. What the problem is, it's become the dominant. It's not about what God's doing about the problem. It's about the problem itself. And that was the same problem the children of Israel had with the giant. All they were talking about was the giant. Giant come out and talk to them. They talk about the giant, how big he is, how strong he is. David came, though, and what did David do? He started talking about the answer. He said, who is this guy defiling the armies of God talking this way? Who is he? Then he said, and they told him who he was. And then they said, the king said, whoever does this is going to get some rewards. Going to get some money, going to be tax-free, and he gets to marry the king's daughter. What? Tell me again. David got excited about that, buddy. So what was David doing? Was he hearing words based off the problem? No. He was hearing words based off the answer. And then when he got out on that field and that giant started talking, what did he do to the giant? He didn't ignore him. He started talking right back to him. He said, what are you? The giant said, what are you? You'd send out a kid out here with a stick. What am I? David said, this day you are going to die. You are going to die, and I'm going to cut your head off. And I don't even have a sword. So with this, and what did David do? He answered it. He opened up his mouth, and he spoke right to that giant. Well, Brother Hagin came in the meeting. They had been having meetings all the time. Brother Hagin came in the meeting, and he said this statement. I never will forget it. He said, boys, your words are tripping you up. You keep trying to make progress, but our words, as long as we keep talking about this problem, they're going to trip us up. If we want to see this thing come to pass and change, we got to start speaking the answer. What can we do to get out of this? Now, this is a business principle. I remember Donald Trump talking about this in one of his books. He almost went bankrupt with the whole deal, building his own buildings. That's why a lot of these buildings that have Trump's name on it, he doesn't own them. He leases out his name for them to put on buildings because he got burned in real estate. So, and a lot of people don't know that. But anyway, he got burned, and everybody's sitting around the table. What are we going to do? We're all going under. We're all going to perish. All these things. So finally, he just said, I got to take a break. And when he took a break, he went and called his dad. I love this. He went and called his dad. And he was telling his dad all these things. And his dad finally just said, be quiet. You're a titan. You're a king. And hung up on him. What was he doing? He said when he got on the phone, he realized what we need to do. All we're doing is talking about what's going wrong. Let's talk about how we can turn it around. Let's talk about how we can see progress. You got to do the same thing. You got to start speaking towards the direction you want to go in. Don't be silent. But also, don't let your words trip you up. Speak in the direction you want to go in. Number one, faith's got a belief in its heart. Number two, it speaks that belief. And number three, it receives that belief with thanksgiving. If you've got a belief in your heart, you need to open up your mouth and say it, or else that belief in your heart will die unborn. You'll never see it manifest in your life. How many of you think we could speak more? I know I could. How many of you think you could speak more? How many of you think you could open up your mouth and start speaking over your family, speaking over your kids, speaking over your company, speak over your business? We could do all that more, right? We could call those things that be not as though they were a little bit more often. How many of you think we could do that? All right, let's do it. Amen. Every eye closed, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that this word stays with us. Put us in remembrance of it, that when we wake up in the morning, we speak your word. Father, we thank you that we do this so that we can not only be hearers of your word, but doers of it. Thereby we can be recipients of all that you promised, all that you provided. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, and I do mean any.